Well, I'm excited about today. Today is Friends Day on all of our campuses and all of our venues. And I want you to think about your best friend growing up. Did you have a close friend growing up? What was he like? What was she like? I want to tell you about one of my best friends growing up. His name was Todd Lionberger. Lionberger. Still a dear friend of mine. We grew up together at church is where we met. And we spent so much time together playing basketball through Royal Ambassadors Basketball. We went to camp together. We had so much fun. He would spend the night at my house. I'd spend the night at his house. And we got into racing BMX. That's bicycle motocross. In fact, we were on Bicycle World Team and traveled nationally together. And there's so much funny stories I could share with you about Todd. Because he was just one that would bring so much joy to your life and laughter. He was fun. He was crazy, engaging. He would do anything. So he fit right in with the Trammell family because we lived on the edge, loved adrenaline. And I remember Todd went camping with some of the students from our church, and the counselor had a truck that in the back cab, the seats didn't face forward. They faced sideways, so the driver's seat would be here, and then you would be in the back of the cab facing this way, and then someone else would be in this side of the back cab facing you. So to get in the truck, you had to fold down the seat, and you would slip in, and you would just fold it down, and he was trying to get it adjusted. When he sat down, the hinge of the seat cut off the tip of his left finger. So they sewed the tip of his finger into his palm so it would heal back. So he'd walk around like this, and we gave him a hard time about that. So that finally healed, and he would always be chewing on it, so we would call him Slime Finger because he's always chewing on it. It was just slimy. Didn't that encourage you this morning? We were at a bicycle track in Shreveport, Louisiana, and we were practicing about to go into the race, and it was obvious his chain was loose, and so Todd reached down with his right finger as he was on the bike, and he just touched his chain to see why it was loose, and he kept pedaling, and his finger went with the chain through the sprocket, and when it came back around, the tip of his right finger was missing. So guess what they did? They sewed it to his palm, so he walked around like this for a long, long time, and then when it started healing, he started chewing on it, and so his nickname is Slime. And you know the backstory. But I want to tell you something. Slime was one of my best friends. He would be there for me anytime, day or night. We had so many memories together. We did life together. And every time we talk, we laugh about all the amazing things we got to experience together. Don't you love having friends? Well, my question this morning is, what is a friend? A friend is someone you trust. A friend is someone where there's mutual loyalty. A friend is someone who's dependable, who is consistent, who's available, who's vulnerable, and authentic. That's a friend. Now, you would think with our current technology and our social media savvy that we would have more friends than ever before. But the reality is you can have hundreds of followers and friends on social media. In fact, we are more connected than we've ever been, but yet we're more lonely than we've ever been. Why is that? Well, when you look at our culture, one thing you'll recognize is we have a heightened level of self-sufficiency. When you look at our pace of life, we are moving so quickly that we really don't have time for relationship because we're so busy, we're overscheduled, we're overcommitted, and we're on the move. Plus, there's a heightened sense of suspicion. There's a lack of trust. And then there's a lack of initiative. So the epidemic in our society, both in the church and outside the church, is that you'll have individuals who may be very connected socially through media technology, but are very lonely. And so you'll have that person very alone, wishing someone would reach out to them, wishing someone would initiate friendship with them. And they lock down in this shell and they go into this dark cave of loneliness and are unwilling to come out of it. And that's epidemic. You see so many celebrities who have millions of dollars and have so much fame but are living lives of absolute loneliness. So this morning, I want to talk about how to build friendships God's way. How to build friendships God's way. And what does God's Word say about that? Now, what I want to do this morning is give you three habits to build meaningful friendships God's way. If you'll write these down, they're very simple, but also very intense. Here's habit number one. You ready for it? Say amen. Be friendly. That's number one. If you're unwilling to be friendly, it's not likely you're going to be surrounded by many friends. Be friendly. If you'll write down Proverbs 17:17, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A friend loves at all times. Now, when you study the Word of God, all 66 books, 39 in the Old Testament, 3 times 9, 27 in the New Testament, what you'll discover, there are many wonderful friendships in the Bible. You think about David and Jonathan in 1 Samuel chapter 18. David and Jonathan had this amazing connection and kindred spirit and did life together. You think about Elijah and Elisha, how they did life together, ministry together. And in 1 Kings 19, when Elijah was at rock bottom, major depression, to the level where he wanted to commit suicide, he said, "Lord, take my life." And then God, remember, fed him, gave him refreshment, food. It was angel food cake. First mention of it in Scripture. 1 Kings 18, he got food, and then God revealed himself, not earth, wind, or fire, but a whisper. God revealed himself, so revelation. But then God brought him rest and let him go back to sleep. He needed replenishment. He needed rest. But what's so powerful is God demonstrates the value of friendship when he brings a relationship into Elijah's life. And that person's named Elisha. So Elisha became Elijah's friend, and they did life and ministry together. In fact, when Elijah was taken up in the whirlwind, before he was taken up, Elisha said, "I want a double portion of your spirit." And then Elisha's taken up in this whirlwind, these chariots of fire, and he goes up to heaven, and Elisha receives the double portion. He takes the cloak that Elijah wore and received the power that Elijah bore. What wonderful friends. I think about Joshua and Caleb. You remember when the 12 spies went in to check out the land? And 10 came back and said, "There are giants in the land. There's no way we can overtake them." But Joshua and Caleb said, "Our Lord will deliver us. There's grapes in the land. God can help us. God will see us through." And Joshua and Caleb became best friends. I think about Naomi and Ruth. "Where you go, I will go." Such close-knit friends. I think about Daniel. I think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You want to talk about a band of brothers doing life together, willing to go through the fire together. Close-knit friends. You have Jesus really close to Peter, James, and John. You have Jesus very close to Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. You have Barnabas and Paul, Barnabas and John Mark, Paul and Silas, Paul and Timothy, Paul and Titus. And then in Romans chapter 16, Paul has this extensive list in the whole chapter of all the people that have meant so much to him. Greet, 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 affirm, let them know. Just a whole list of names of friends dear to Paul. So here's a statement I want you to write down. Now this will set you free. You ready for it? To have a friend, be a friend. To have a friend, be a friend. Would you say that with me? To have a friend, be a friend. We have Barnabas and Saul, who becomes Paul in Acts chapter 9, if you want to look in your Bibles, verse 26. Acts chapter 9, verse 26, "And when he came to Jerusalem," that is Saul, who became Paul, he was a persecutor of the church, now called to be a preacher of the gospel. "And when he came to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples, and they were all afraid of him." Well, I guess so. He had arrested so many, he had persecuted the church, for they did not believe that he was a disciple. In other words, they didn't believe that Saul's conversion was real. There's no way God could change a man like that. But there's more to the story in verse 27. But Barnabas. I love that phrase. But Barnabas. In other words, a friend stepped in. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how on the road he had seen the Lord, who spoke to him, and how at Damascus he had preached boldly in the name of Jesus. So here's what I want you to remember. Barnabas had to be willing to risk his life, literally, and his reputation to build a friendship with Paul. So to have a friend, what do you have to do? Be a friend. Here's another phrase I want you to write down. Take the initiative and make intentional deposits. Take the initiative and make intentional deposits. I've shared this concept with you because it really connects with me how in your life there are what are called intersections of life. Depending on your life stage and depending on your age and in your phase of life, and if you have children or grandchildren or different work environments, what you'll notice is you'll have different intersections of life. So when we had Tori younger and she was a competitive cheerleader, we traveled extensively to go with her to these cheer competitions. So we would spend 8 hours in the Opryland Hotel in Nashville, Tennessee for a 2-minute demonstration of their cheer thingy. So we spent 8 hours with all these parents and really got to do life with them. That was an intersection of life. Our son Austin played sports pretty extensively, so I was either coaching or I was in the stands with the fans. We got to know so many families through that ministry. Intersections of life. Intersections of life. 2 years ago, we moved to a new location to be 2 miles from our new campus that's being built right now, less than 11 months away. Hallelujah. I'm feeling the love right there. So we moved to a new location, so we have a new neighborhood. We have new neighbors to build relationship with, to do life with. We have new gas stations and new places of business that we frequent now, different restaurants. We're getting to know a whole new set of people because our intersections of life has changed. So when God gives you those intersections, you capture moments to connect. Capture moments to connect. And here's a really neat idea. Be friendly and be friendable. And I don't know if that's even a word. Be friendable. It's a word now. Be friendable. So be friendly, but then be friendable. And in these intersections of life, you have to make room in your life for friends. I want you to write EG. EG, energy and guidance. Just as a leader in our church, being chief of staff, we have 458 employees at Champion Forest Baptist Church, 15,000 members, an amazing church that we get to be a part of. And so I have a lot of leadership opportunities and a lot of meetings. A lot of my life is meetings. I spend half of my life in meetings. That would probably be an understatement. It's probably 70% of my life in meetings. And my passion is when I enter the room to a meeting, which I have one at 5 o'clock today, when I enter the room, I bring two things with passion, energy and guidance. Energy and guidance. Because you've got to take initiative to build relationship. You can't be passive and just shut down and wonder why you feel alone. You've got to bring energy and guidance to that relationship. So I bring E and G to every meeting I'm in. Every lunch meeting that I have, which is multiple days a week, when I go to a lunch meeting, I bring energy and guidance because I'm very intentional about building meaningful relationships. And here's what you'll discover. Deep friendships take time, energy, and intentionality. If you're too busy to build a friendship, you're too busy. Now, distinguish the difference between building godly friendships and building bridges to broken people in order to lead them to Christ. So that's a different journey. One journey is you're building meaningful friendships to have a healthy relationship with someone where you can do life together. Then you're also building relationships with lost people who are far from God. And you're encouraging them. You're making deposits in their life because your goal is to lead them to faith in Jesus Christ. So you're intentional about building meaningful relationships. So what's habit number one? Say it with me. Be friendly. Now look to somebody and smile at them real big. Let's practice being friendly. Now say, you look so great today. Would you go ahead and say that? You look so great today. All right, let's look at habit number two. We're making tremendous progress. Habit number two, you ready for it? Be choosy. Be choosy. Now, we're talking about deep, meaningful relationships. Jesus was choosy. Peter, James, and John were his inner circle. And there's a lot of implications there. Be choosy. In Proverbs 13:20, if you'll write that in your notes, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. I shared this 2 weeks ago on Graduates Day. You become who you spend time with. You become who you spend time with. Have you noticed that when you're around a negative person, you become more negative and cynical? When you're around a positive person who splashes living water, you become more upbeat and more positive. You become who you hang out with. And I gave you this quote from Andy Stanley. I love it. Friends will determine the direction and destination of your future. Show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. 1 Corinthians 5, 15:33. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals or ruins good morals. And remember the illustration I gave you 2 weeks ago? It's easier to bring a Christian down than a non-Christian up. So be choosy. Another phrase, surround yourself with godly friends. Surround yourself with godly friends. And I'm going to ask you a very personal question. Who is your 2 a.m. friend? Now that list is probably going to be rather short. If you were in need or in trouble or at a low point in your life at 2 a.m., who's your 2 a.m. friend? Be choosy. Here's number three. Be realistic. Be realistic. Now, I want to speak into this for just a moment, because if you're not careful, you'll get so enamored by social media and, wow, they have this many followers on Instagram and all their pictures are happy, happy, happy. Like Duck Dynasty. Happy, happy, happy. And what you have to remember is they are showcasing their highlight reel, their best moments. They're not showing you when they're upset or tired or angry or have tension and friction in a relationship. They're showcasing their best. It's their highlight reel. And you say, wow, look how many followers they have on Instagram. Look how many followers they have on Twitter. Oh my, how did they become so popular? They have so many followers. And then on Facebook, they have so many friends. Be realistic. And here's what I mean by that. It takes a lot of time and energy and intentionality to build meaningful relationships. So you're not going to have 25 deep, meaningful relationships. You can have 25 acquaintances, but to go deep takes time, and you're talking about probably less than three people. In fact, if you're a man in this room and you can name one friend, you're far ahead of most men. True stat. Every friendship has limitations. You have so many other tugs and responsibilities on your life. You have to define expectations. You have to establish boundaries. If a man spends more time with his buddies than his wife and children, that's not good. Several years ago, I was dealing with this couple, and they were going through a difficult time. And so as I was meeting with them, and they were in my office, the wife was on one end of the couch, and the husband's on the other end, which is normally a signal things aren't very healthy right now. And as I dug down in their relationship and said, help me understand your current reality. And here's what the wife said. He's a hard worker. He works all day. But when he comes home, he just slips through, gets a bite to eat, and goes to our neighbor's house. Now, this is a couple with kids. He goes to our neighbor's house, and he plays video games with our neighbor until 1 or 2 a.m. every night. So then I looked at him and said, it looks like to me you have no room in your life for marriage, that you have a mistress. He looked at me like that. I said, it looks like your mistress is the video game obsession. Well, they didn't come back to see me. They went and saw Pastor Lewis. I'm a one-time guy. Come meet me one time. I'm going to get down to what's real. And they usually don't like that. So they go meet with Pastor Lewis, and he'll meet with them for several months and help them unpack everything and bring them to health. I want you to write this down. Friendships are risky. Can we just acknowledge that? Friendships are risky. There's a possibility of rejection. When you become vulnerable with someone, when you get to a place where you let your guard down, and you say, you know what, I'm struggling with this. Or you know what, I'm really wrestling with this area. Or you know, I'm really feeling this. I'm wrestling with this. And you start getting real with someone and you let your guard down and become vulnerable, that's risky. But also, that's how you go deeper. That's how you go deeper. And I want to announce this morning that friendships are worth the risk. They're worth the risk. Friendships are worth the possibility of rejection. And we have to remember, every friendship combats the human condition. Let me give you an example. Two godly men on mission with God. Acts 15, verse 36. After some days, Paul said to Barnabas, so you get Paul and Barnabas doing ministry together, on mission together, let us return and visit the brothers in every city where we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are. Now, Barnabas wanted to take with them John called Mark, but Paul thought best not to take with them one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. And there arose a sharp disagreement so that they, Paul and Barnabas, separated from each other. Wait a minute. Barney is the one who stepped in for you, Paul. Barney is the one who brought credibility to your new call to ministry, and yet they're parting company, separated from each other. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed, having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. So we see a major eruption in a relationship that was vibrant and healthy. But I want you to see how God always has the final say. Two things. First of all, Barnabas takes John Mark and they go into a new mission field. Paul takes Silas, Dr. Luke, and Timothy, and they go to a new mission field. They end up going to Philippi, and Paul and Silas get to hang out in a prison ministry in Acts chapter 16. And the jailer gets saved, the whole family gets saved, and Lydia, who they led to the Lord on the beach before they went to prison, she opens up her home, and it becomes a church at Philippi. So God still allows, even after this tension and this friction and the eruption of a healthy relationship, they go separate ways and God uses it to multiply the gospel. Isn't that powerful? And then Paul's last words to Timothy, come before winter. And when you come, bring John Mark because he is very useful to me in ministry. That's the grace of God. Friendships are risky, but they're worth the risk. They're worth the possibility of rejection. I want you to imagine life with a friend who gets you, with a friend who brings out the best in you, and a friend who helps you reach your God-given potential. I want you to imagine a friend like that. We love watching The Voice. And Alicia Keys, I love when she does the chair turnaround and she's trying to win over one of the contestants because Blake turned his chair. And you know, so they are battling back and forth. And Alicia looks at that singer that just sung and so nervous. And Alicia says, I feel you. I get you. And they always choose her. She just knows how to connect on a deep level. I feel you. I get you. We can go places together. And Blake's like, dude, what? And Adam's like, oh, shut up, Blake. And we're so locked in. But think about having a friend who gets you, who draws out the best in you. Now, be that kind of friend. Now, be that kind of friend to someone else. And then you have to learn how to be alone. I think I need to say this. If you're not careful, you'll live your life thinking, if I don't have more friends, I'll die. The reality is you will spend most of your life with you. You will spend most of your life with you. So you need to get to a place where you like hanging out with you, because you're going to spend most of your life with you. If you don't enjoy you, if you don't like you, you're going to have a difficult time, because you are stuck with you. And here's what I mean. You need to learn how to be alone and it be okay. You need to learn how to be alone and get to the place where you can say, Jesus is enough. And don't expect your friends to meet needs that only Jesus can meet. Our main text, John 15, verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, Jesus says, if you do what I command. Here's a life point. You can become a friend of God. I want you to measure that. You can become a friend of God. I became a friend of God on March 28, 1979, by turning from my sin and trusting in Jesus alone for salvation. I just simply believed John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I believed Romans 10:9-10, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart one believes, resulting in righteousness. With the mouth one confesses, resulting in salvation. I believed. In Romans 10:13, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can become a friend of God this morning, and he alone can meet your deepest need, which is one word, forgiveness. He can meet your deepest need, forgiveness. And then he can also satisfy the longing of your heart, friendship. You can become a friend of God. And here's what I've discovered in my now 39-year journey with God. When you become a friend of God, you will become a better friend to others. I remember in 1987, when I graduated from high school, the song was played by Michael W. Smith, Friends Are Friends Forever. Remember that song? And friends are friends forever if the Lord's the Lord of them. And a friend will not say never, because the welcome will not end. Though it's hard to let you go in the Father's hands, we know that a lifetime's not too long to live as friends.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We pray that the truth of God's word is both encouraging and uplifting to you. If you'd like more information about our church, service times, or locations, or if you have a question about what you heard today and you want to connect with someone, I want to encourage you to visit us on our website at championforest.org. Have a great day, and God bless.